Nehemiah chapter 2. And we're journeying with Nehemiah to learn how to live out our life with greater purpose. It's a typical human need to want to have value and meaning in our lives. And it's also a human thing to waste and squander the time and opportunities we have and regret that. And we want to have, wouldn't you like to have fewer regrets than we have? And a lot of the time, the regrets are linked to us squandering the more important things that we ought to be living for. And we started that journey with, it begins, everything starts with prayer, is to learn how to be backed by, supported by a good prayer life and the reasons why to do that. Today, we're going to think through the reality that we need support from other people and how to get that. And I don't know if you've ever had moments in your life where you tried to get someone to help you and they just wouldn't help you, whatever that was. And then some time went by and then you noticed that that same person who wouldn't help you is now helping some other guy. Have you ever seen that before? And you're thinking, why did they help them and they wouldn't help me? And then you start to notice that there's more than one person in my life that will help other people, but they don't help me. Or when I walk in the door, have you ever walked in the door and the greeting was like, hey? And that same person, when someone else walked in the door, the greeting was, hey, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so excited you're here. And you're thinking, who am I? Why don't they respond to me that way? And that bothers us because we notice that, right? People don't treat me the same way they treat you. And we're wondering, why is that? And sometimes we get frustrated, irritated with people. We get bitter. We distance ourselves from people. We break off relationships because of these kind of dynamics that are taking place. And we realize that we need people, don't we? We need to accomplish. There's some things we can do without people. But there are many things to accomplish. We need people. Some of us need people to move heavy objects, right? To move things around the house for us. Some of us need other people to fix things for us. Wouldn't you love to have Sean in your house that just could fix every time something goes wrong? He can fix it for you. We need people to fix things. None of us are expert fixers of houses and cars and the body. You know, we need experts in the things, and we need people. Now, because we don't have relationships, you know, anybody have a friend that's a doctor or a surgeon? No? Okay, good. I need to talk to you guys after service. just a few of you do. Anybody have mechanics, auto mechanics that are friends? Okay, so a few of you, computer technicians and stuff. Okay, so we have some of those in our lives, but a lot of us don't have those in our lives. If we don't have relationships with them, friends that can do those things, then what do we end up having to do? Pay somebody else to do it, to take care of it, because we don't have that relational leverage. And sometimes we take advantage of the friends that we have by not giving them some kind of compensation. But we just can't get certain things done without people. We need people for our occupation and our income, do we not? And direct ways and indirect ways. If you want to get that job, then you need the owner of the company to actually own a company and run it in a way that produces an income and like you well enough to invite you into the company and like you well enough to give you the amount of pay that you desire and those kind of things. And we rely, and it's frustrating, isn't it? We just wish we can just decide that this is how people will respond to me. This is how much money I'm going to get. And even if you're retired or on some kind of government assistance, we still rely on a society of people that are working and putting money into a pot and a government that decides whether or not they're going to give that money out. We need people. But probably more felt need that we have is we need people emotionally, socially, and physically, do we not? There are certain things that we can't, certain needs that we can't, as much as we might try. And there's a lot of technology and a lot of scientists out there that are trying to figure out how to alleviate needing people and try to make machines do the things that people were meant to do because people are not reliable. I can't rely on this person or these people to meet my needs and expectations all the time, so I'm going to make a machine to do that. I was observing, my kids were watching a TV show weeks ago, and I happened to, something caught my eye. Have you ever been in the same room with someone? Well, anyway, they were watching, catches your eye, and you start watching, and then you think, why did I even look at that? Well, anyway, they were watching some kids show, and this teenage boy has some science tech skills, and he made a robotic girlfriend for himself, because the girlfriend was programmed to like everything about him and to respond favorably to everything that he suggested that they go out and do. And we laugh, but I tell you what, you don't want to go down this road, but go looking through the internet and you will find that tech world is trying to make machines do everything they can for us. And the reason is because people are not reliable to meet our needs and expectations. The question is, why is that people aren't so reliable? And I think about that, and I begin to wonder, would I rather stay frustrated at the reality of, well, a good Christian should just do that and respond this way, or a good person in general should just respond this way and do that and take care of this and do this thing, rather than just staying frustrated at that, maybe I should just choose to change something within me. Because did you know that you and I have a greater capacity to control ourselves than we do to be able to control the people that are around us? And in many ways, the reason why people don't respond favorably is because of the way we respond to the people around us and the way we do or do not invest in the lives of and the relationships that we have with other people. Is it all our fault? No, I'm not saying it's all our fault. It takes two to tango, doesn't it? It's not all our fault. But there are a lot of things that are on us as to why nobody's helping me, nobody's supporting me, nobody's responding this way to me. And Nehemiah, in our journey with him, is going to show us how do we need to respond to people to be able to get those kind of responses. Look with me, if you will, Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In the month of Nisan, that's where we get the car. In the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up, this is Nehemiah speaking and relating this to us, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had not been sad in his presence, verse 2, and the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is not but sadness of heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I gave him a time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. The king granted me what I had asked. So in Nehemiah's scenario, he got what he was wanting. And what we've been discussing is when we look at stories in the Bible, even though they're historical stories, there's a certain way we're supposed to respond to them, because we're not in the same exact situation, in the same exact circumstances that Nehemiah is in. And so not everything's going to relate to us, and we can't force all of those things to relate and apply to us. But in these stories, because they're there for a reason, in these stories we're both informed, but we're also receiving revelation of the way God works in humanity and the way humanity works with each other, and we receive insights, but not promises and guarantees. We receive probabilities. Remember that last week? That if I do all the right things, typically a certain thing's going to happen. But there are exceptions to those rules. So if we follow Nehemiah's behavior before the king, that does not mean that we're going to always get from everybody around us everything that we want. And if you believe that, I have a bridge in somewhere in the city to sell you. And there's a lot of options to choose from. This one's falling apart, which is probably most of them also. but he's showing, we're seeing here ways to respond and interact with people that creates a favorable response. And we want to learn from those things. Don't you want to learn how to gain a more favorable response from the people around us? Be careful what you ask for, because there might be work involved in order for that to take place. Because a certain kind of person receives help from other people. From other people. Well, what kind of lies? A certain kind of person receives help and support from other people. Well, what kind of person is that? First, that person is respectful. And you see that throughout this interaction, how respectful Nehemiah is towards the king. Now, mind you, that not all relationships are quite the same, so not everybody is our king or superior or boss, so it's not always going to play itself out the same way. Sometimes people are inferior in position to us. Sometimes it's the opposite. And so that you're not going to relate the same way to your wife or your husband as you will to your children or to your best friend down the road. And so there are some variations to this. But in general, we're called to show respect. And isn't that what the New Testament teaches us? To respect everybody around us, to be people that are respectful, because that's the call that we have to interact with other people, and it's because it has a certain kind of effect on other people. And we see him demonstrating this when he says in verse 3, let the king live forever. He's favorably postured towards him. In 5 and 7, both those verses, he says, if it pleases the king. In verse 6, he says, it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. He's very conscious of the reality that the king has expectations of him, and the king wants certain things to happen. And while the king wants to help him out, the king still has his needs that need to be met. And so Nehemiah is willing to take care of those things, and he's being respectful to those things. When we ask somebody else to do something for us and they don't, we need to ask ourselves, how have we been treating that person? Because people are going to be more favorable to do something for us if we're there for them, if we are respectful. I mean, I know that there's exceptions. I know the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? I know that some people, if they're pushy enough, they will get you. But how much are you wanting that person to stay in your life, though? All right? They might get something from you at some point, but you're eventually going to start to build barriers, and you might build a big wall and try to keep that because they're always squeaking. We don't like the squeaking. We like pleasantries and those kind of things. And so I need to ask myself, and you know what's kind of the odd thing that begins to happen? If you start to feel frustrated with someone because they're not responding to you, then what happens to you? I get sour and irritable, and I start saying sarcastic things, and then what's that person supposed to do? You're like, you know what? I love being around you. No, they start getting irritated, and then I start getting irritated, and just everything just kind of unravels and it sinks, because at some point, someone has to decide to say, I'm going to be nice even if I'm not being nice too. Okay? And I'm telling you, more people are willing to do for the people who are respectful to them than they are the people who are not or not attentive. Or, again, he's saying that he wanted to work things out to meet the expectations of the king. And I think that sometimes when we ask for help, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. Okay? Sometimes we're needy and we need to ask for help. But sometimes I think when we ask for help, we're so focused on our needs and our wants that we forget that that's a real person over there that also has needs and also has limitations and also can't do everything. Even if it's an organization, you know, sometimes we get frustrated at an organization, whether it's a church or some charitable organization or the government that we're seeking help from, and we're getting frustrated. We have to remember that even an organization has needs and has goals and has limitations. Did you know that? But when we get so focused on our need, we don't think about that. And when we're demanding, you should help me. Have you ever had the people that say, you should call me all the time, all right? You should come and see me. Have you ever had that before? You know, when you get older and you're like a grandmother or whatever and everybody's moved out of the house and no one's seeing you anymore. Nobody comes to see me anymore. And you know what people love to go see? The person who's saying, nobody ever comes to see, because that's so fun to hang out with, you know. That's when we're looking for a party time on Fridays to go do something for fun. We're out looking for people who are complaining. That's who we want to hang out with, right? No, amen. and again, not that we can't complain, not we can't express those things, but and sometimes we're limited in ourselves and we can't do and or invest and those kind of things, but we just have to understand that if I can't sow in, if I can't be respectful, if I cannot connect, then there might be a reason why there's no offering coming towards me from that other person, because the way I carry myself with them affects the response that I get. The harder thing is that I have to do this without any motivation for gain, generally. And I want you to note that Nehemiah was the cupbearer in verse 1, and he gave the king his wine. And I want you to note that he didn't just start this job thinking, I need him to let me go rebuild the wall, so I'm going to start the job as cupbearer, and I'm going to start being respectful and servicing him. He had been doing this before the problem surfaced. He had been doing the right thing, serving, being respectful without any expectation of gain for a certain duration of time before this surfaced. And so when the time came to ask for the need, the king was very favorable to give it because Nehemiah was not the type of person who was just being nice for the sake of gain. Have you ever had people like that in your life where they were being nice to you, but some of you might be sinking in your ask something from you, and that's the only reason for their niceness? Some of you might be sinking in your seats and thinking that's the only time I'm nice to people is when I need something from them. And again, I know we're limited on time, and sometimes we can't give to that person. And it's fine to ask someone to give to you when you can't give to them, but just understand that if they don't, there's a reason for that. Because if every time I show up, I have my hand out. And Nehemiah didn't have his hand out. Did you notice that Nehemiah did not bring up the request? Did you notice that? He did not bring up that there was a need. You know who did? The king did. And we might say, well, but Nehemiah was moping around trying to get attention so that the king would ask. Ever know people like that who will mope around and complain and da, 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 and they won't ask for it, but they're just waiting for you to ask for it, and they just keep trying to hint and drop all kinds of hints around for you to ask? And we might think mistakenly that that's what Nehemiah was doing. But when the king asked Nehemiah what he needed, and he said, look, I noticed that you're sad and downcast, and this is sorrow of the heart. Did you see how Nehemiah responded? He was scared. You know why he was scared? Because he didn't actually expect, anticipate, or want the king to notice. He was trying to restrain his emotions because he didn't want to bother the king. Nehemiah didn't show up to the king with his hand out. And not that it's always inappropriate to show up with our hand out, but we have to remember that it's difficult for people to help those who are so aggressive and pushy about, you need to meet my need, you need to meet my need. And we're so irritated that why don't people help me? Why don't people do good things anymore? Where are all the Christians today? And we're moping around and wondering why nobody's supporting me. And I wonder if instead of looking at all the people around us, we might not need to look inward at ourselves. A certain kind of person gets help from other people. It's a respectful person that gets that. It's also a compelling person that receives help from other people. The reason why Nehemiah was so downcast was because he was so passionate about what was concerning him. If you remember last chapter, he wept at the reality of the condition of the walls of the temple. Nehemiah was passionate about something has to be done about this city. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that effect on other people, but when we're excited about something, people around us are drawn to that, aren't they? They're drawn to when someone's passionate about this issue or this thing or this needs to get done. And sometimes the reason why nobody is coming around to support our efforts and whatever it is that we're doing is because we don't have a passion for it. And Nehemiah got the resources and the help that he needed because he was passionate. That's why the king noticed. That's why the king offered, because he was passionate. So the question is, when you try to lead people to Christ, are you passionate about your walk with Christ? Question is, when you try to get other people to live right, are you passionate about righteousness? The question is, when you need help with whatever you need help with, are you passionate about why and what it is that you need? because we need to be passionate. However, did you notice that he says in verse 8, he acknowledged that the good hand of my God was upon me. This isn't just a manipulation type thing. All right. This isn't just I get all my ducks in a row, I get this plan all worked out, and I do all these things for that person, and I'm going to get all these things back from them. That's not how life works, all the time at least. There's another factor that's sitting in the midst of that, and that is God at work to cause that person to be favorably disposed towards me? Amen. And last week, we talked about that when it comes to being a person that prays with impact. Our position before God matters. And so if we're wondering, why is no one helping me, we should start to ask ourselves, what kind of posture do I have before God? Am I intimate with Him? Am I close with Him? Am I submissive and obedient towards Him? Am I in love with Him? Am I after the things that God wants and in desiring the mission that God wants to accomplish? Because I'm telling you, the person who's so focused on the Lord and so focused on what God wants, do you remember what Moses looked like when he came down from the mountain, spending so much time in intimacy with the Lord and conversations with Him? His face was shining so bright the people couldn't even look at him. He had to cover himself with a veil. Why? Because there's something magnetic. There's something impactful when there is a life that has the Holy Spirit filling them and working in their lives and has his hand on them. Something begins to happen around them. And when we begin to see that nothing's happening around me, we have to ask ourselves, instead of pointing fingers, don't we do it? We do that, don't we? You know, we get on kids for doing that. You know, stop blaming other people. We get on other people for doing that. But we do it all the time. You know, I'm sad and depressed. You know why I am? Because of this person and that person and this circumstance. Or I'm struggling financially. You know why? Because this person and that person and that person isn't helping me. I have physical health issues, relationship needs that aren't being met. You know why? Because they're not, and they're not, and they're not, and they're not. I mean, when we're complaining, do we really go, I'm such a lousy person, and it's because this is wrong with it? Is that what we say? No, we usually point, yeah, sometimes. It's because we're usually pointing the finger at the person next to you and say, I can't control you. You can't control them. Did you know that? You point to the person next to you and say, I can't control you. Okay? All right? And some of you just got marriage therapy for free. Okay? I can't control the people around me. I can't. Now, I can affect them positively or negatively. I can ask them for things effectively or ineffectively. But I can't control them as much as I can control me. And that's such a hard pill to swallow. I'm telling you, for me included, that's a hard pill to swallow, to say I can control myself more than I can them. The better solution is for me to choose to do the right thing rather than trying to get all of those people around me to comply. And the beauty of it, just like the when we are weak, then we have that strength. The beauty of it is if we focus on correcting ourselves and then serving others, that's when all of a sudden you see the people start to show up and say, how can I help you? How can I get this accomplished? This looks like an amazing thing. You're really passionate about that. You are always so nice to me and take care of me, and I want to make sure I do something for you. And we're looking around saying, why does nobody help me? It's because what kind of a person am I? Am I respectful? Am I compelling? And am I strategic? Now, sometimes the Bible corrects us, and sometimes the Bible affirms us. I love strategy. Anybody like, I don't remember what conversation, was this Wednesday? Yeah. Anybody like the game Risk? Anybody like those games, those strategy games, or Axis and Allies, or maybe lesser strategic, but still somewhat Monopoly, and the love strategy games? Some of you are into the strategy video games. I hate video games today, and the reason why is because they confuse me, because you can go so many. When I was growing up, you could just move one direction. That was it. You just moved one direction, so you knew where to go all the time. But this day, you can go all over. You can turn around. You can go all over the place. But some of you guys, you like that depth of strategy. And did you know that relationships and what happens in the relationships involves strategy? We can't just wing it all the time. Did you know that? Because that person next to you, as much as you just pointed to them and said you can't control them, that person next to you is also very confusing, are they not? I need you to point back to that same person and say, you're really confusing. Right? I'm perplexed. Aren't you perplexed with the people in your life? I'm perplexed. They just think differently than me. I don't know how to deal with that. It's confusing. And so I need to make a plan. Anybody planners like me? When there's problems, I need to start planning. I need to start working on a schedule. I need to figure things out and make a plan. And some of us are better at winging it. Some of us need less of a plan. But all of us need a plan. You know why? Because we don't think the same. We don't want the same things. We don't need the same things. Have you ever been frustrated with someone and you think, he keeps saying he forgets this all the time. How can he forget this? I know it all the time. You ever have those conversations before? That's because you are you and they are them and they don't think the same way as we do. And so they need a reminder, don't they? And that's why sometimes some people become nags in marriage because they keep giving too many reminders. But there is a strategy involved, and it's frustrating. The strategy that works for me towards Aaron does not work for me towards Hamilton. Did you know that? And the strategy that works for Hamilton towards George does not work in the strategy for him towards Jackie. Because not only do we need to learn how to work with people in general, but every single person is different. And we need to learn to be strategic. One of the things we need to do, when the king asked him, the king said, what do you need? He very clearly said in verse 3 and verse 5, he mentions the city of my fathers lies in ruins, and the gates are destroyed. And I jumped from spot to phrase there. In verse 5, he says that you send me to Judah that I may rebuild. Now, I know that us men are sometimes confusing, right, ladies? Right? And I say that because I'm going to say how ladies are confusing also. And some of it is because of how highly emotionally intelligent women are. Okay, women just can pick up on subtleties. And you know how us guys are? We like the direct approach. You know, just tell me what it is you want. You know what women like to do? They like to drop subtleties. They like to drop hints because they want the guy to know and figure it out and not have to be told. But you know what happens when we don't just clearly say, this is what I want? The guy's running around frustrated. I'm trying to make her happy, but I don't know because I don't know what it is she wants. Right? And again, like I said, this is not just girls, but guys do this sometimes too. Ladies, do you ever think, I don't know what he wants? Right? And you know why that is? Because we don't feel comfortable just saying to somebody, this is what I need from you. And for whatever reason that is, but just like I said earlier, would you rather spend your life frustrated that people aren't meeting your expectations, or would you rather humble yourself and start clearly saying, this is what I want? Because I'm telling you, and I'm learning it in my own life, because Heather does everything I want, I'm learning it in my own life, that they're often about you, even if they're not really fond of the idea that you're bringing to the table. They're often favorable towards doing what it is that will make you happy if you just clearly say what that is. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves when we said it, did we actually clearly say it? Have you ever, we have this Facebook outreach, and there's this individual that's on there that would send me a request through Messenger, and it's like a word puzzle. I'm like, what is he talking about? There's like punctuations all over the place, and there's phrases going this way and that way. I know he wants me to do something, but I don't know what that thing is. And I'll ask the question, and the same response is a jumble of words. Do you ever talk to people like that? That you're like, I know that they're trying to communicate something to me, but I don't know what they're trying to say, all right? And we have to sometimes work on clarity, don't we? We have to be clear and make sure that the other person understands what it is we're asking. And we need to make sure that we don't do what sometimes happens to us when we get older and our hearing starts to go and we start to think that their hearing is going. And, there's the joke that the old man said, you know what? This is so irritating. My wife always mumbles, and I finally got a hearing aid and she stopped mumbling. Let that sink in for a second. that's right. So speak clearly. Ask yourself, are you actually clear with the people in your lives? Are you actually telling them what it is you expect and what it is that you're wanting? But also, again, the same as under compelling, we need to be seeking the Lord for guidance and favor in the midst of this. Because I find it intriguing. Did you notice that Nehemiah is having this conversation with the king? And then he stops and he says, and then so I prayed. And then he continued the conversation. Now, I don't know if he actually stopped and said, hold on a minute, and prayed out loud. He was likely praying inside himself to the Lord. But in the middle, not before the conversation started, not after the conversation was over, in the middle of the conversation, he's asking, Lord, guide me. Lord, give me favor with this person. And sometimes the reason why we fail socially is because we're not relying on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Lord, show me. Lord, help me. And I'm telling you, for myself, the moments that I'm not doing this versus the moments that I am doing this, I notice a very, very stark contrast in what happens in me and what happens in them. Because the Holy Spirit tends to lead us in the right direction. Our flesh tends to mess it up all the time. But we have to actually stop and, all right, Lord, show me how to respond. Show me what to do. And also, did you notice in verse 7, he not only asked the king for the favor, but he also asked him, hey, listen, there's these people that are going to come up, and we're going to see this as we walk with Nehemiah on this journey. There's these people that are going to possibly cause some problems, and so I need some letters from you in order to make sure to take care of these people problems. He was anticipating the needs that he would have. He was planning ahead. And again, I love when the Bible affirms the way I approach life in that it's good to plan ahead. Did you know that? It's good to anticipate what might go wrong, not in the way of being scared and anxious and panicked, but in the way of being able to know how to handle and address those things. Have you ever asked someone for help, walk away, and realize that didn't really help, what you asked for, and you had to go back again and ask for something different? And doesn't that sometimes, because you know, sometimes it makes you look foolish. Sometimes it's the person's like, I already gave you something, let me give you another thing. And you know, it just doesn't work out unless we've thought this through. And what does Jesus say in the parable about the wise master builder? The wise master builder just grabs a bunch of materials and throws them together and tries to get it to work. No, the wise master builder sits back before he does anything and calculates, doesn't he? And did you know there's calculation in effective relationships? Did you know that? Not manipulation, but thinking, how's this going to make that person feel when I ask or respond or do? And how are they disposed towards me? How have they been towards me? How have I been investing in their life before I go and ask them? What's going on in their lives? Again, like I said, we're often so focused on what I need, we forget about what might be going on in their life, that maybe this isn't the right time to ask this. Maybe this isn't the right time to do this. And sometimes we can't help it. Sometimes we're completely unaware, and we can't prevent all of those things. But I wonder if we start going into conversations prepared, prayed up, thinking things through effectively, I wonder if we might not get better outcomes than the ones we're getting. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? It's a difficult thing, this relationship we have with the Lord, because there's a touch and go with it. There's an ebb and flow with it. It all depends on Him, right? 100% of it. We can't do it without His power. He's the one that gave us the intellect and the body and the abilities that we have to begin with and the resources that we have. It all depends upon Him. We need His power to do it. Yet, at the same time, we have to choose to do something with the resources He's given us. We can't just pray a healthy relationship into existence. And so if you're not investing, without talking, without doing the right things. And so if you find in worship team, you can begin to lead us whatever you feel led to. If you are finding yourself today in a scenario in which you're frustrated with the people in your lives, whether you know them or not, because sometimes we're frustrated with those people and there's not a face to those people, it's just in general, or the organizations that are around us. And we're always pointing the finger because we're hurting. We're pointing the finger outward to everywhere else. But ask yourself, is it me? Is it me? Am I investing in the lives of other people? Am I giving out? Am I receptive? Am I warm? Am I connecting? Am I investing? Am I respectful? Am I strategic? Am I cautious? Am I thoughtful? These are the questions we need to be asking ourselves. Because maybe my marriage is struggling. Maybe my household is struggling. Maybe my friendships are struggling. Maybe these connections are struggling. Maybe it's not all them. Maybe it has something to do with me. And wouldn't you rather change yourself and see those circumstances change than just wait around being frustrated that they're not, the people around you aren't changing? There's something you can do about that this morning. There's a Holy Spirit here that is not limited on power, not limited on knowledge, has no flaws, that would love to meet you down here at these altars and begin to empower you to become the kind of person you need to be. So if that's you, you need to speak with him this morning. Let's go do that. Come down to this altar and seek him. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Aren't you grateful that, like I said, it's our flaws and our weaknesses that makes us realize how magnificent he is? Because you know, there's nobody else that could measure to that. That's why we sing all those praises to him, because he's so far above any of us, the best of us. He's so far above that. And as we proceed throughout our week this week, let us just remember that we have responsibilities with each other, and we also have limitations. So don't take away from this that we can do everything or be all things to all people. We can't. We're limited. But we just have to be respectful to know that I can't expect from others if I don't have the capacity to sow into them. It's a mutual relationship. That's a healthy relationship, is a mutual one. And that's the beauty of what we got to experience this morning. If you participate with us on our Wednesday night groups, the beauty that we get to experience is that we get to have our needs met in different ways. And I hope that this morning you were touched by, whether it was the Holy Spirit directly or by the worship team or by the teaching or by the way someone interacted with you. I hope you do, I walk often away from this place feeling uplifted. You know, not everything's perfect. You know, not every problem's resolved. But I feel better about life than I did when I came in. But I also recognize that I also got to do that for somebody else. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. You can't make an artificial version of that. You can't. As nice as Alexa is, she really can't fill your emotional, relational needs. You can't. We need each other and we need the Lord. Amen. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to become the kind of person that you want us to be. And though we know that there are some levels of ulterior motives because we have needs just as much as everybody else, but we ask that you would help us to live in a way that brings about fulfillment through the work of the Holy Spirit for ourselves and others. Lord, you want the body to be healthy, and we ask that you would generate that among us. And help us, Lord, when we go about our week, hopefully we've established some relationships and contact here that we have people we can reach out to when we're struggling and hurting. And we can be clear and not just sit around and wait for someone to come, but we can ask and we can approach the body of Christ for support and help. And we can be respectful to know that when the body's limited, that's okay. It's okay. Because people are not our source of everything. You, Lord, that's why we need you. Because you are the source of our life. You are the way we live and move and have our being. It's you, Lord. So build your church, we ask. We thank you for what you've done, for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Love you. God bless you. And hopefully we'll see you Wednesday night at 6:30. We have our group development groups. I hope you'll join us. But see you next Sunday, if not. God bless you.